This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Life's a Banquet. The show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara,
horrible!
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about chocolate and wine and bread, champagne and scandal and crackers in bed.
I'm drunk!
Always.
Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet.
Want another?
Consider it done.
Oh my god, I'm... Whoa! Welcome to Life's a Banquet. The show about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible, horrible.
This is your host, Brenton Scott, and...
Zara Tangora.
Now, listen, if you're just joining in...
If you're just joining us, Brenton is wearing two pairs of headphones and sunglasses.
You know, it's one of those days in New York City. It's in the middle of June. It's not even officially summer yet. And it is raining. And if you recall, last week we did our episode. Was that water?
Yeah, yes, that was the water sode.
Water sode. Well, listen, we have moved on, sort of. Zara, tell me about your week.
Oh, good Lord. I don't even remember. Oh, I had a Tangora family reunion.
Oh, my
Tons
God.
Of Tangoras.
Tons of Tangoras. Whatever. Who cooked? Did you organize the whole thing?
Oh, no, I did not. Actually, my lovely... I guess she'd be my second cousin, Joanne Tangora, or Joanne DiCicco, as she now is known, had the whole thing at her house. And
okay.
It was so lovely. My brother came, so any of you listeners out there who don't know, I actually have a long-lost brother who I found out existed after my dad died. His name is Brad. I love him so much.
Discovered by the obituary, right?
Discovered via obitch. He's wonderful. He came in, and... I won't go through my whole family history, but there was Tangoras, there were Smiths, there was all kinds of amazing people. Joanne Tangora provided most of the food. Bobby made spanakopita, and I took a page from the old Brenton Scott handbook.
Wait, what did you? What?
I brought a bag of frozen vegetables. Just kidding.
I was like, did you freeze them with the dip inside? Like,
no. I tried making your strawberry cake. That
oh
you told
God.
Me about. That was a Stella Parks recipe.
So how did it turn out?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
So,
see, I never actually made it. So that's all like, wait, you took my recommendation, but I never made it. But okay.
Picture it.
Okay.
I am psyched on making a cake. I go to TJ's.
Yep.
I buy some freeze-dried strawberries.
Yep.
I come home. I'm getting into it. I have the car double parked for street cleaning. Pour them in the food processor.
Yep.
Chop them all up. I'm like, this is going to be so dope.
Yeah, it smells so good, right? When you pure the powder.
Amazing.
It's like the new... like chef lover's cocaine.
I would absolutely do a line of powdered strawberries. And actually, I brought some with me today.
Yeah,
so I opened...
That's really weird because I just did a line of... Yeah.
I opened up my food processor and I didn't realize that there were silica packets inside. And I ground them into the strawberries.
So you pulled an actual Breton.
I full Bretoned and then my hair turned blonde.
Now, hold on a second. If you really pulled a Breton, be like, well, a little silica never hurt anybody.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I immediately took to Google and I said... Will silica kill you? It won't, but it will dry you out. So everyone would have just had like...
Can't you eat... Isn't there something about silica... Maybe I'm making that up.
It's not poisonous, but it would have made everyone's mouth extremely dry. So I...
Oh my God, and then you could serve them more cocktails and they get...
Right,
oh.
Exactly. I would just keep selling them and selling them and selling
so
them.
So the next time either one of us open a bar or restaurant, make sure to
lace
our bar peanuts with silica. But... Oh my God, like, no, I have to have, and it's like water won't do it. You have, like, I need another martini.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Oh my God.
So anyway, I brought it back to TJ's. They were very nice. I remade it. But the moral of the story is that it was absolutely delicious. It had so much strawberry flavor.
I love Trader Joe's. They're like, you made a mistake? No problem.
Yeah, they're so friendly and crunchy there. They're great. They also helped me do my taxes. So anyway, I made a strawberry cream cheese frosting to go along with it, and it was really good, and I highly recommend.
I saw a picture of it, and it looked fluffy and pink.
I owe it all to you. Thank you so much. What did you make? What was your week all about?
Well, okay, so I finally assembled my tiramisu.
Ooh!
So for those of you if you don't recall that we had a guest, Dana Cowan,
mm-hmm.
on the show a few months ago, and she had come over to our house, and Zara taught both of us how to make her famous tiramisu with amaretto crunchy cookies, which are the amaretti cookies. They're made they're technically made from the kernel of the apricot, right? That's flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this almond. They actually take inside the kernel of an apricot. You can do it. I've done it in the summer.
You have?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course you have.
You crack open, use a nutcracker, and you crack open an apricot kernel, and inside is a tiny little nut, and it tastes like almond. You're like, wait a second. It is true. And I think of that apricot scrub from St. Ives.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That takes me back to eighth grade.
Oh, I've religiously used that every day of my life.
Is that your secret?
I stopped using it 4 months ago, and I can tell, actually, that I'm a little dull looking.
Yeah, you do look about 5 or 10 years older today.
Yeah, so, wait till tomorrow. I'm going to go to Target. Don't get the Target brand. Anyway, so these freaking almonds. So I made my own ladyfingers.
Okay.
Is it worth it? No. No, it's not worth it to make your own, but is it fun? Yeah. I like making stuff. If you're a baker and you're like, I want to make ladyfingers, people are like, well, that takes too much time. I'm like, but to me, that's fun. I like to. So I did a one bowl method where you temper the egg yolks. Stella Parks again. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of obsessed with her. But you temper the egg yolks over a boiling or, you know, simmering water bath over a Benry. And then you whip everything together and it gets really puffy. You know, you whip the egg yolks and the egg whites together so you don't do them separately.
Sure.
And really, it was a wonderful batter. And I assembled the entire tiramisu in 11 minutes.
Oh, that's very
After
fast.
I'd already made the cookies. So I was like, I don't want to make this. I don't feel like doing it. I had two mixers going at the KitchenAid stand mixer and the hand mixer at the same time. Egg whites in one. I did use whipped cream. I know it's not traditional, but it's better.
I use Agreed. Whipped cream.
It's Absolutely. Not traditional, they say. But
fangula da mamra.
Why would you, that's probably because they didn't have enough cream. Like, they couldn't, so
yeah.
We have it now.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Whipped cream is better in tiramisu. I made my own coffee really quickly in the stovetop espresso maker.
How do you do it?
I just whipped it together real fast. I put on the timer. That's my new thing, is I put on a timer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just be like, how fast can I get this done
Perfect.
Without being completely sloppy?
Challenge yourself.
And you know what? Something like tiramisu, I was pretty darn sloppy when I was putting... You know, you watch on Instagram and YouTube, and there's some, 27-year-old mm-hmm. that's like, I spent 4 hours making, diagonal rows of thing. And I was like, girl, I'm sorry.
No. Do you remember what happened when we made our tiramisu with Dana, and we made it in a thing that was too large, and we wanted to put it in a smaller thing? I just slopped the whole thing.
We slopped it all, and you wait 24 hours, and you go the next day, and it cuts into the most beautiful square.
It was amazing.
And it's delicious, and... Is there anything better than tiramisu?
No.
I don't think there is.
Not a thing.
To me, it's like that I'm starting to simplify my life, right? It's like I only eat Caesar salads, slices, pizza, good old-fashioned pizza pies, and tiramisu.
Sounds like you want to be a rotangora.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's cool. That sounds amazing.
I really worked this week, and I've been cooking 12-hour shifts, and it is exhausting.
Yeah.
I forgot. Being on your feet, schlepping. I've been doing the fryer and the flat top grill.
Oh boy!
First of all, I'm drinking. I think I've lost some weight.
Yeah, you look great.
And I just, you're so thirsty, and I'm so tired. That next morning when you wake up after a 12, 13 hour shift, and you're like,
yeah.
How do people do it?
I used to work 15 or 16 hour days,
I know.
Every day in a row on the line. It's absolutely soul crushing, but also so fun. Do you tell a lot of dirty jokes in there?
Yeah, and you know what's so funny is I notice as I start cooking, I start to get more inappropriate, and I now, you can't say anything because of their new rules of life.
Yeah.
I can't even say anything about myself. They're like, you're offending yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, but I usually talk to myself like that. Like,
don't talk about your penis that way to yourself.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you are now referred to as a they, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I have to be careful because there's all kinds of diverse people.
Sure, which is great.
It is great.
But it isn't great for humor.
Not for humor.
Great for people's feelings.
Like, does Andrew Dice Clay, what does he do now?
Well, Andrew Dice Clay has dug a hole to the center of the earth, and that's where he lives. Although that whole thing with Andrew Dice Clay, that was an act. You know, his persona was an act. I think that as I watch Cheers, which I've been doing for what feels like the past 6 or 7 years now.
I was going to say the six
every
or seven
single
decades.
Day, I can't get over, I just can't. Finish watching Cheers. It's like a never ending. It's like one of those handkerchiefs a clown pulls out of its mouth. It's like, when will this fucking thing end? And you know, it's so backwards and bad, and like the jokes are so off color and inappropriate. But for that time, it was progressive. And you know, time marches forward, and we try to get better. And
I watched the John Waters 1989 Harris or whatever it was 88 89.
Hairspray. The
it
best
is so racist. But I mean, they make. Fun of kind of everybody.
Well, yeah, it was speaking about racism and segregation.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And of course, John Waters is the best person ever.
He's the best.
I thought, can you even say some of these things even on film now?
If you're John Waters, because you're in on the joke. You are
exactly.
A friend to everyone. You know what I mean? You are everything alt, basically, as John Waters.
Yeah,
so you can say anything.
Alt.
Correct. But yeah, I don't know. Kitchen humor. That's actually something I was talking about with Steven the other day. We were talking about kitchen humor and how, you know, there's a ruggedness and a violence to kitchens that I think certain people who work in them really appreciate. And also they should be better and not such a temperamental mm-hmm. place because not everybody likes it. So we should definitely talk about that more in depth, I think, on a
Yeah, and
upcoming
I noticed
one
other thing that happened to me this week is I noticed I started to lose my faith a little bit in humanity really quickly when you're staring. I was like on Friday night. At one point, I go, look at all these people just going out to eat. And I was like, why am I mad at them? And
slobs.
And I was just like, well, look at them just sitting at the bar ordering food and drinks. Like, who do they think they are?
You're like the cook in Wet Hot American Summer.
I don't know what happened. I was just so hot. And suddenly I like came to, I was like, oh my God, wait, I like to sit at the bar and eat a drink. So I should be nice too. It's great. It's long hours. And I thought this whole restaurant system is messed up. The way that we get
crazy.
Paid,
yep.
You know, I've done all sides of restaurant. I think you have too. I've bartended, mm-hmm. busboy, dishwash, owned a restaurant, you know, waited tables, chef, been a chef.
You're
been
going
a line
backwards pick. Now.
What?
You're going
I'm
backwards.
I'm going backwards. I actually kind of want to just be a dish. I was like, if I just go in.
Yeah.
I want to be a prep cook.
I would love to be a prep cook or a line cook.
Put on my podcast, chop cases. You know, I ripped open.
Your own podcast?
I attacked this case of cauliflower. I was like, grabbed it with my hands and I had to like, you know, it's for frying and I just busted. I was like, how fast can I bust down one case of cauliflower?
Yeah.
And the answer is in like 7 minutes.
Pretty fast.
My thumbs were sore.
Really?
Oh, I was ripping it.
Well, you know what? One other food thing that I did.
Perfectly.
I went to Bomonti's and had their mussels marinara, which I haven't had in a while. And they were some of the most delicious mussels in the I know that Bomonti's has some hits or misses. Mm-hmm. I will tell you something right now. Go in, sit at the bar, have a finger-stirred Negroni, and
run,
a plate of mussels.
Run. Don't walk to Bomonti's. Have a finger-stirred martini and the mussels.
Roll. Don't talk. So, yeah, they were great. And that brings me to our topic this week, which is mussels.
Mussels.
I'm flexing. If you guys were here, you'd see my gigantic mussels. Right, Bretton? Look at this one.
Mussels, yeah. Definition. Pumping Iron. Have you ever seen Pumping Iron 2? Remember the women's
one? Oh, the women's one? No, mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
Highly recommend. Speaking of mussels.
Yeah.
Mussels. What are they? What is a mussel?
You tell me.
Hold on. Audience? Yes. What do you think? Right now, Colin. Hello. What do you know what a mussel is besides a bivalve? It's a bivalve.
Yeah, it's a rock full of snot.
It's a rock full of snot. Some people say it looks like a vagina. Some people say it looks like an alien pod. I don't know, but... So mussels are a bivalve, which means it has two valves. Does it even have a brain? Is it alive? I think it is.
Who cares?
So here's a little fun mussel fact. Okay. Do you know how they grow mussels? Or rather, do we know how we get them?
How?
Well, okay. Funny thing you should ask. Mussels are their spawn. So they have a little like baby spawn, like mussel eggs or whatever, and they mm-hmm. float through the water and they attach to something. You could even harvest your own if you live near the ocean. You could put an old rope hanging next to a buoy, and then they take the mussels. They start to grow every few months and they get a little bit bigger until they said about the size of half of your thumb.
Okay.
Little baby.
Baby.
Aww, mussels. And then they put them in what's called a sock, right? And so there's like rope grown mussels and they put them in a sock and it's a mesh thing. And then it's mesh so they're big enough and they can move themselves. Even though they're attached, they use these little like kind of tentacly things to attach themselves. You know, like you have to pull off a muscle. And they can slowly move each of their legs and slowly move where they're attached to. I didn't know that. I thought once they attached, they were just stuck there like a barnacle.
Yeah, of course. We all thought that.
So then, of course, after that, they grow together and they kind of size up the muscles because they don't want baby muscles competing with larger or stronger muscles. And then they kind of grow the same thing. And then, of course, we harvest them. We slaughter their poor little muscle feet and we take them apart and shove them into boiling water or white wine.
Are their feet also their beard?
You know, you would think somebody like me would know that.
Yeah.
And the answer is I'm not sure.
Do women mussels and male mussels both have beards?
That's a very good question.
Or do the women shave their beards?
I know that the gay ones usually have a beard. Like, yeah. They're like, girl, we're going to hairspray tonight. So Mussels, they're great, right? And
yeah.
What else was I going to say?
Unless you're allergic to them.
But yeah, tell me what do you feel? What's your thought on mussels?
Well, I think they're disgusting. No, I'm just kidding. I love mussels. I think they're amazing. They were always around when I was growing up because I'm from a coastal area.
So you're a coastal person, exactly. Yeah.
I'm, you know, around them a lot in my normal life. I'm just kidding. I'm a deep sea fisherman. No, I love mussels. They're great. They're black.
Are wonderful. Black, green. There's those New Zealand mussels. Those are really green. They have freshwater mussels.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm going to talk all about freshwater mussels.
Well, should we take a break now?
Or sure.
Is it a little early?
Ah, fuck it. Let's take a break.
Listen, I want you to hear these messages.
Yeah. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Da da da.
Hey, this is Ara Tangora.
And Bretton Scott.
And we're the hosts of Life's Banquet podcast on Heritage Radio Network.
It's amazing to see and hear the unparalleled content that comes from our community, even with limited financial resources. And they've been doing it for 10 years.
The HRN staff and hosts make it look so easy, but making the best food radio out there is hard work.
I'm so excited to be part of Heritage Radio Network, and we invite you to join us in making sure that our second decade HRN is stronger than ever.
Become a member today!
Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate right now!
You can even show your support for our show by selecting
Life's a Banquet
in the designation drop-down on the menu. Thanks for listening
to HRN.
Bye!
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Well, welcome back to the After These Messages.
I'm all clammed up.
So we're talking about mussels.
The mussel sode. Breton, I have a joke for you.
I love this jokes.
This has become my thing. Okay, so a mussel walks into the bar. The bartender says, "What are you doing here?" And the mussel says, "I'm a bouncer." And the bartender goes, "Good, we need some mussels around here."
Oh my God. It's funny because we know that they're a mussel, but the bartender.
Right. The bartender wasn't aware of his own pun yet. Okay. So I'm going to take you to the year 1980. Picture it. Unfortunately, John Lennon is shot in front of the Dakota and dies. The popular video arcade game Pac-Man is released. Ronald Reagan is elected as president of the United States, so begins the decline of the world. And the killer clown John Wayne Gacy was sentenced to death for the murder of 33 boys. A VHS home movie camera cost $1,599.
I think we still have it.
Isn't a VHS camera like $150 now? Why is it so expensive?
I don't think they make them, and I bet you could get them on eBay for cheaper.
I mean, that to me, I was looking at the prices of all things in 1980. It was like ground beef, like 3 cents a pound, and a VHS home camcorder was like 16.
How much was a gallon of gas?
Probably free. So it was also the year that Pulling Mussels from the Shell, this hit song by The Squeeze, was released. And did you know that the song is written about a sexual experience at their holiday camp? Because pulling mussels from a shell means having sex in the UK.
Because, really? I didn't know that. Is that because of the way that the mussel looks? Like,
probably. Yeah, it looks like a pussy.
You pull it from the shell. That seems so graphic.
You would think it would be putting a mussel in the shell.
Yeah, or sticking like...
Pulling it from the shell?
Sticking your finger in the mussel inside the shell.
Eating mussels out of a pot or something.
Yeah, like don't like pull the mussel out all the way.
Dipping your bread in the mussel broth.
Yeah.
That's a little wordy.
Taking your french fry and shoving it into the mussel. If you're having movie.
Anyway, that's a good song. You guys should listen to it. So the common name mussel is also used for many freshwater bivalves, including freshwater pearl mussels.
That's right.
Because as we learned in our clam episode, pearls can exist in not only oysters, but clams and mussels. And most mussels inhabit different creeks and some salt water and fresh water. And those are delicious. We eat them. They're blue mussels. Typically are the ones we eat. There's Bouchot mussels. They're farmed a lot of the time. People generally love mussels. They have to clean the water. I was reading about how, similarly with oysters, if we started having more mussel farms in the wild, we could be cleaning our water supply.
You're right, because they just filter. Yeah. Those bivalves just filter something crazy, like hundreds of gallons.
Hundreds. I think it's 62 gallons, if I remember correctly, per day.
Something. That's probably wrong. It's a surprising amount.
It really is. So there's a lot that mussels can do positively for our ecosystem. However, there's a different kind of freshwater mussel out there. A parasite, a pest, a plague on humanity. It's called the zebra mussel. And zebra mussels are not, what do they call it? They call it a, I can't remember. It's like one of those species that comes in and like an infectious species or
you
whatever.
An imposter?
God damn it, Matt. The voice of God. An invasive species. So they're originally from Russia. And much like the Russians have hacked our elections, so has the zebra mussel hacked our rivers and lakes.
Our Great Lakes.
Yes.
They came when I was in growing up in Wisconsin, Lake Michigan, they had the zebra mussel infestation, and we couldn't go in the water. And did they leech onto you or something?
No, they just destroyed everything, and they went in all kinds of pipes and stuff, and they would mess up. They cost... the local businesses, congressional researchers have estimated that zebra mussels had cost businesses during the 1980s $5 billion in their initial invasion. And they cost power companies alone over $3 billion. And
I love how they were trying to scare us in Texas with the killer bees, but meanwhile, the mussels were ruining our water supply.
Yeah, mussels are our real enemy. Yeah, terrible. So
I don't feel bad about all you can eat mussels anymore.
Absolutely not. You have to eat as many as you can before they win.
Yes, I'll try the mustard cream sauce ones this time. Thank you.
And the marinara. And the what do you call it? Marinade? Marinier?
Marinier.
So anyway, mussels are evil. Zebra mussels, that is. In Austin, this past year, 2019, the year of our Lord, residents had noticed that their water started to smell, quote, like septic or toilet water.
Oh, no.
The water smells like rotten trash when I attempted to shower and brush my teeth, says one local Austin resident. Also, zebra mussels had gone into the pipes and died and made the water in the entire city smell like rotten, grim death.
Okay. For any of you cooks out there or people that have actually cooked mussels, whether you're a cook or not, you've had a bad mussel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that smell is? And it only takes one, right? It only takes one apple, and it... And you lift open the pot and you think, and you've got one bad mussel and you've got to throw it all. It's disgusting. Yeah,
it's disgusting. It's really bad. Or that time you were saying that remember you and Preston had mussels one time? I think it was when I was living at your apartment and you guys had made mussels and I came home and you're like, the mussels we made were full of tiny crap, like spiders or something, right?
Oh, my goodness.
This and you is just a kept
very,
eating them?
Okay, so here's a wonderful story. I was very into mussels, and they're very inexpensive. We'll talk later about preparation and how you can start cooking them if you haven't yet. But I had bought some mussels, and I thought, what a great deal. And they're very plump and juicy. And I had a couple crunches, right? And I'm eating them. I go, oh, I must have, you know, sometimes you open it up and a little piece of the shell falls
sand.
In. I was like, a sand. Yeah, it's a sea creature.
Yeah, sure is.
So I thought nothing of it. One little crunch, second little crunch. And suddenly I'm like, God, these shells, there must have been a mussel that like completely disintegrated and like all the shell went into every single mussel bite. And suddenly I look inside that mussel and there are tiny, tiny, like the size of a pea or smaller.
Yeah.
I don't know. In between a pea and a, I don't know.
A black-eyed pea.
And a black-eyed pea, exactly. And a sesame seed. And there's little crabs. Crabs. And I mean, they're spiders. They look like spiders. And there's a few of them there's one in each little mussel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. I have been eating. I don't know why I keep saying, oh my goodness. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. This.
My goodness gracious. I have been eating these spiders. I'm going to get sick. They're going to infest. I'm eating lice. I'm getting bit by like the deer ticks of mussels. Of course, I immediately run to the internet. I ran to the internet.
After you finished eating pot of mussels.
I was like, well, they do provide a nice texture. It turns out that they're not harmful at all, and that some countries in Asia, specifically the Chinese, can take those little spider crabs out and sell them separately, and they're a delicacy.
Oh, wow.
So then suddenly it like changed. I was like, oh, of course I've been eating the fanciest mussels. I didn't like it. It kind of weirded me out just because I'm not used to it.
Sure.
Call me like a, you know, I'm a little Midwestern little white boy. I'm afraid of something sometimes.
That's surprising to me.
I know.
Well, you're going to be afraid of this too. So, have you ever heard tales of things falling from the sky? Different animals and stuff, like a plague of it raining, for instance, frogs, which would be my absolute worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. So, little backstory about raining, about these skies raining different animals. In the third century, ancient Greek philosopher and writer Athenaeus wrote in his work, the Book of Diotrephes, whatever, something I can't pronounce in Greek, blah, 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 not important. It has, they say, before now, rained frogs, and so great has been the number of these frogs that houses and roads have been full of them, and at first, for some days, the inhabitants endeavoring to kill them, and shutting up their houses, enduring the pests, when they did not go, but they found their vessels were filled with them, and frogs were found to be boiled up, and roasted, and everything they ate, and besides all of this, they could not make any use of water, nor put their feet on the ground, because there were heaps of frogs everywhere, and also annoyed by the smell because they died, and so everyone had to flee the country.
That
now
is crazy.
Yes. So in the same vein, in the year 1892, in Paderborn, Germany, the residents have described seeing a thick yellow cloud approach their town, and as it did, thousands and millions of mussels started pouring from the sky during a rainstorm.
That I still don't understand.
Well, basically, they say about things falling from the sky, such as frogs or mussels, that it could be that they get swept up in like a tornado, and then they just like rain down. Like a tornado goes over a pond or something, and then it rains down.
Wow.
And then another little thing I wanted to mention about mussels is that we all know America's sweetheart, Jean-Claude Van Damme, aka the mussels from Brussels.
I thought you were going to say Jennifer Aniston.
Oh yeah, well her too. Mussels from Brussels. He was from Brussels. He was born October 18th, 1960. He's a Libra.
Oh,
thank goodness. But Brussels loves mussels.
Mm-hmm.
And that mussels, moules frites, is really from Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Brussels love mussels. They love their French fries, as we all know. Even though it was popular in France, it was really originated in Belgium. And then they also have a very interesting dish that I'd never heard of, and I wonder if you had. Have you been to Brussels?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
I went to Brussels.
Have you ever had a dish called moules parquet?
No.
Or parked mussels?
No, I haven't.
So it's a lesser known but really popular dish amongst people who are really from Brussels, and they can tell that people are not from there if they don't like it. So moules parquet actually means like, they're basically, they call it that because it looks like they're parked next to each other because they're all crammed on a plate. They're mussels on the half shell.
Yes.
Raw mussels, and they're served with a mustard vinaigrette.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds fabulous to
mussels
me.
On a half shell with a mustard vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I was right about this. With the mussels, they filter up to 65 liters of water a day.
Oh, 65 liters divided by, okay, so that's like 1/4 that, so like 20 gallons.
Yeah, and one last thing. A mussel's arch enemy is the dog whelk, which bores a hole through its shell and sucks out the soft parts.
That is absolutely insane.
I've had that happen to me a lot of times in my life, I must say, by every man I've ever dated.
Well, how about this? So I read something that there is this wonderful dish, and I can't remember where it is. It's, I think, somewhere in France, and they take all these mussels, and they line them up on the flip side, like the little hinge side, is facing down or facing up.
Okay.
And the opening of the shell is facing down. And then they lay a bed of pine needles
over
this, right? This,
I was reading about that.
Yeah, there's this really famous kind of mussels dish, and I've never had it. And I kind of want to try making it. It's almost like you take a giant pot. I mean, I'm sure you could lay it however you want, but you pile up all these mussels together, much like you would like a clam bake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in a vessel, in a large vessel. You could do this probably in like a large rondo, pot. And you cover it with pine needles. You light it on fire, and the pine needles just kind of, instantly disintegrate, and the heat cooks them.
That's so cool.
And then infuses them with their wonderful pine flavor.
So fabulous. I was reading about that. They do that on, there's like an island off the coast of Western France where that's popular.
Yeah, that's where it is. Now, you were talking about Brussels mussels, and did you know that most of the mussels are harvested off the Dutch coast, the Dutch part? It's called Zeeland.
Mm-hmm.
Zeeland, actually, is how it's pronounced.
I did know that, actually.
Zeeland, yeah. So they have all these, they have wonderful oyster, sustainable seafood beds, right? Mm-hmm. The Dutch were marine masters. Their oysters are fabulous. They knew how to take these wonderful tributaries and salt water and everything and make them sustainable and not pollute them like New York and America did.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. They were like, oh, was this a Brussels dish or a Belgian dish, or was this a dish from the Netherlands?
Oh, cool.
But I'm sure it was a little back and forth during certain times of war. Their countries are so close. It's, you think you can drive across all of the Netherlands and be in Brussels in an hour.
That's cool.
So I'd be like, oh, well, we invented it, but it's actually from Rhinebeck. Or
yeah, know. That's a like, great Dutch accent also.
Which one?
Oh, yeah, well, we like invented it, but like whatever, Belgium.
Yeah, that's exactly how Dutch speak. And if you ever go to Netherlands, you'll find...
Everyone's a shitty bro, like a frat bro.
I do kind of picture the Dutch.
That's what
there's
like...
a word in Dutch called a cocker. And a cocker is a person. A cocker is one of those guys that you see when you're driving somewhere in the East Coast on a road trip, like Nantucket, and he has salmon colored pants. And a blazer, a linen blazer.
Sure.
And maybe some parasol sunglasses.
Kind of like Kevin Costner in Bull Durham.
Something like that. Exactly. Yeah. That's a cocker.
No. Well, I would take a cocker from Costner.
Yeah. Kevin Cockner.
Call me.
Okay. So there's this other fabulous dish, and it's a fried mussel. I was reading about that in Greece, and I ran to Egypt, and they just, I don't know, you take a mussel and you fry it, and I thought that sounded delicious.
Well, go on. I want to hear more about this. So you fry? Do you batter it?
Well, I haven't made it, but I'm assuming you just take the mussel out of the shell.
Okay.
Right, and you fry it like you would. I guess kind of like how you would fry whole belly clams.
Okay, so like a light batter and then a fry. That sounds. You know, I don't think we're inventive enough with mussels. I mean, I love the stuff that, like, I have had with mussels, like steamed mussels and all kinds of different sauces. But talking about, like, raw mussels on the half shell and talking about
all kinds
fried mussels, we need to be...
Marinated mussels. You could
chill
them. You could make a mussels escabeche, which is, I guess, pretty well known, right?
Well, yep. I want to say we should save our fave mussels for later.
Exactly. We haven't gone through that yet. Okay, so of course, in everybody's famous dish, which is called mussels frites. So mussels frites, right, which we were just talking about, is simply mussels cooked in some type of white wine or beer or something in a pot.
Sure.
And then it's served with French fries.
Yeah.
And there's different preparations, you know, right? There's a classic white wine sauce, right?
Mm.
What else? What's the other one? There's like a mustard sauce.
Red wine, white wine, champagne, bourbon, tequila.
There was this...
Curry.
There was a restaurant in Chicago years ago, and they used to do these mussels in a cast iron pan with these Moroccan spices, tons of smoked paprika.
Ooh.
And they dry cook them. And they would
char
the coup diddlies out of them.
How fabulous. So what are, in our chef recommends, what are some of your tips for doing mussels at home?
All right, folks, listen. You think you want to have one of those fun outdoor parties. You want to surprise your guests. Maybe you're not the most adventurous cook, or you think, gosh, I don't really cook seafood.
Mm-hmm.
It is intimidating for some reason when you think of seafood. We're worried about A, safety, the freshness of that. Listen, find a good purveyor and ask when they get the mussels in and where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we live in the East Coast, so it's really nice and... In terms of times of year, they're harvested. A lot of the mussels will come from Canada, from Prince Edward Island, and they're generally harvested in the spring, summer, but they kind of go all from fall till April. There was that old saying, only eat mussels in months that end with an R.
What?
Didn't you ever hear that? Only eat oysters that in December, September? I don't know. So there's something about that.
You know what? I just thought to myself, honestly, I was like, what? Months end with an R. I thought it was like a joke.
September, yeah, October, no, I mean... November, December. There's not that many. So, and Juner.
Mirror. Yeah.
But that is not true. You can have mussels. So mussels are, in fact, one of the easiest things that you can make.
It's true.
I'm not kidding you. And if you get them cleaned, so sometimes they have the beard on them.
Mm-hmm.
And what that refers to is their little thing that they... It's a little, looks like a little seaweed strand, right?
Yeah, it looks like a little merkin.
And a little merkin.
A vagina wig.
And you kind of like, you just grab it with your finger and you just pull it out.
Goodbye.
Yep, goodbye, little stringy, weird, like, it's actually kind of fun.
It is, it's okay. And like, sometimes it doesn't come off and then you feel like you're destroying the whole thing inside and it's like
fine.
The muscles pulling one end and you're pulling the other end.
I always thought that's a really good job for children because they have such tiny hands.
Yes, exactly.
So put your children to work. And get those. I mean, listen, a pound of mussels you can get as low as like $4.
Oh,
I got the most delicious mussels from Mermaid Fish Garden.
Oh,
is that what it's called?
Mermaid's Garden.
I don't know if they were Bang Island mussels or somewhere in Maine, but they were delicious. I got them last week. They were the plumpest, most delicious, most flavorful mussels, and they had already cleaned them. They were $6.20 for a pound.
Great.
That was plenty for two people.
Yeah.
And all I did was put some white wine and garlic and put them, and you cover them with a pot for, 7 minutes?
Yeah, it depends.
If you want them a little longer, like you almost can't really overcook them.
Yeah,
right?
You can't really. They're harder to overcook than like a clam.
Yeah. So, okay, this brings us to our top three.
Oh, yeah. So our top. Well, I actually, before we do that, yes. I have some things I want to suggest with mussels, though.
Wow, I've been waiting.
So for my chef recommends tip, before I tell you my most favorite mussel things, is I want to talk about how, okay, so I feel the same way about clams when it comes to doing pasta with mussels. Which I love, spaghetti a cozy. They call it like cozy, I think, in Italian.
Okay.
Pardon my Italian. I like to steam them before
and then
toss them in because I don't love, and I'm a very, like, not afraid to be a messy eater, not afraid to get my hands dirty. There's nothing better I like than cracking right into a raw pig and just biting it in the back of the neck. But I don't like dipping my fingers into like pasta and then like trying to make a bite. Do you know what I mean? Like I have
trying to pull out the shell is what you're referring to, right?
Right, exactly. Like I have no problem eating mussels, you know, pulling mussels from a shell, if you know what I mean.
Hello, as we know what that means now.
Exactly, but not when it has to do with pasta. So anyway, my tip for mussels with pasta, use them together, especially if you have a shape like a mezzipacri or something. Steam them ahead of time, save the liquid, strain it, get the sand out, save your mussels on the side, use your beautiful broth.
Hold on, I'm writing
this
down. Strain. Yeah. Sand. What did you say about the sand?
Well, you put the sand in. No, but this way you like get to make the whole thing. You don't have sand. You don't have bits of shell. You don't have to like dip your fingers into blazing hot pasta. It's great. So that's my chef recommends tip. Okay, now down to top three. Would you like to go first?
Okay, my top three. I mean, I'm not going to say the obvious, which is mussels. Well, yeah, I will say the
obvious. Say whatever you want.
Fine. I can do whatever I want. My name is Bretton Scott. Screw everybody. Everybody, screw you. You don't like me. Turn me off. Oh, hello?
Hello, Mom. Are you still there?
So, mussels. I do love a mustard cream sauce. I know this is the second or third time I've mentioned this in the last 20 minutes. But,
Perno?
Yeah, that's correct, too. But I just, you cook the mussels, and you add a little white wine. You could add sherry. You could add beer, whatever, and you pour some heavy cream into it and some mustard. Why wouldn't that be so delicious?
Yeah, it's good.
Right? And you serve that over some toasted, grilled, delicious, like a pugliese loaf, right? And you slice that and you toast it and you rub the garlic on and you make a true crostini and drizzle all the oil and then you pour your creamy, mustardy mussels over that. Tell me that is not number three. Number two. Not to be confused with number one. Very different movements. But number two, I would probably say, I'm going to go ahead and just say linguine with mussels.
Ooh, so you're on board. Now, do you like the shell or do you not like the shell?
Here's the deal.
Okay.
It does look really nice.
It looks great.
This reminds me when I was in the south of France.
Picture it.
For my 40th birthday, and I was on just like some place in Nice. I was in Nice and I just stopped at a random place. Like, they have outdoor seating. I don't care. It looks good. The waiter was nice. The beer was cold.
Perfect.
And I had the most delectable, divine, delicious delight. Oh, sorry. I copied her lyrics. But plate of linguine with mussels. It was so wonderful.
Delicious.
And then finally, my number one. Oh my gosh. You know, I guess I do like a raw mussel. Have you ever had like at a Japanese restaurant, the raw with like the little quail egg and mussel shooter? And it is, when you get a fresh mussel, it is fabulous.
Delicious.
Zara?
I'm going to blow your mind right now. I'm going to bring it to a place that you might have not been expecting me to. Number three, paella. I realize that it's not all about mussels, but it's heavily featuring mussels. Heavily featuring mussels.
And the shell.
Pulling mussels from a shell, putting your penis in the paella.
I
was reading about paella. I was actually going to do it for my story, but there wasn't quite as much of an interesting story to it as I had wanted there to be. Originally, paella was made, though, with rabbit and snails and not really mussels. But modern day paella leans heavily on our favorite sneaky evil bivalve, the mussel.
The mussel.
My number two is, well, you mentioned it before, mussels escabeche.
Yep.
Which is a classic dish from Spain. Puerto Rico?
Portugal.
Portugal.
I think Portugal, right? It's like Escabeche.
Escabeche has a lot. They do a lot of it in Puerto Rico. Whatever. So
they do it in South America. They do it everywhere.
We'll do an Escabeche episode down the line. But one of my favorite restaurants in the city, end of all time, Estella.
And just to tell her, that's almost like a vinegar, right? You would use like a white wine vinegar.
Exactly. So you use vinegar, onions, usually peppers. Those are kind
of
the
staples.
It's a
more sour preparation.
It's a sweet and sour. It's sweet almost sour. Like an agrodolce, but
there you go.
You know, definitely sour, but also a little bit sweet.
Yeah. I always, sometimes whenever people hear the word escabeche, they're like, we're always like, yeah, that. And then I'm like, it just means.
It's a marinade. Yeah. And you can put anything in it. Brucey, we used to do in the springtime, we would do like a rhubarb escabeche. We'd sometimes do fennel. Like, you can really, basically the crux of it is to have sweet and sour and usually peppers in it. It's
there
delicious.
You go.
So at Estella, they have an amazing mussels escabeche on toast. It's really, really good. There's some aioli on the bottom. It's one of my favorite things of all time.
I'm real hungry right now.
It's really good. And my number one fave thing with mussels, I can't front. I mean, there's other things I dig.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I was thinking about this, we used to do a dish at Brucey. It was so dope. And it was just like steamed mussels that had like lavender butter. I'm like, that was really good. And peas. There's like something really nice about like a crunchy, like poppy, like pea or chickpeas with mussels. But if I have to be honest, if I gotta be straight up, I really, really just love mussels marinara. It's like, for me, the best.
Yep.
It's the best thing. It might be one of my very favorite Italian foods, hands down. I mean, I hadn't had it in a long time because actually, I'm gonna divulge a secret. I get a little bit,
I
get a little bit like nervous around eating shellfish sometimes. Just because, like, if it's not treated correctly, I just, in the back of my mind, I'm always like, oh, I don't want to get a bad one.
When I was in Ireland, there was apparently, everybody kept, in Ireland, there's these kind of mussels. Like,
pirate mussels.
Pirate mussels. Yeah, go over to, I don't know, that was a combination of Dutch-Irish accent. So I ate this one. And I knew it wasn't right, and I did it anyway. I was like, I'm in Ireland. I can do whatever I want.
True.
I have this Guinness, and I got food poisoning. And the next morning, I had to take a bus.
Uh-oh.
I had to take a plane.
No.
I had to take a train.
Yikes.
To the Netherlands.
Sure.
With horror.
Did you shit your pants on the
plane? I had number twosies. I had number doozies. And number folks, doozies. This is not a joke. You can't write this. I was on the I was in the airplane. And it was a short flight. Thank God. It was only like an hour. And there was no light in the bathroom. The bathroom light was broken. It was an EasyJet, shocking.
Yo.
And I was in that bathroom, and I was just, it was dark, complete darkness, and I was had to vomit and
lucky
do other things.
Lucky for the person after you.
Oh, my
they
God.
They found the light, and they're like, ah!
I've never, and then I finally arrived to Holland, to Amsterdam, or near Amsterdam, and I get off, and somebody was by the train station, they were doing somebody had like herring, like
oh,
raw,
no.
And I could smell it, and it, oh.
Oh, God.
You know, but a couple months later, I was back on mussels, and I'm strong.
And I don't feel proud of being nervous about eating shellfish, and it doesn't really stop me from eating it, but I always take pause. So I hadn't had mussels in a while, and we went to Bamonti's the other night, and I was like, you know what? I love their mussels marinara. I remember going one Christmas Eve with my dad when he was still alive, and they sent out an order of mussels marinara on the house as a gift. My dad didn't eat fish. He never ate any kind of seafood, so I had to eat an entire giant portion of mussels marinara on my own. And I was just like, man, they're so good here. Like, let's just get them. And everyone at the table was so pumped. My brother, it was his first time at Bamonti's,
yes.
Was like chowing down. And we were like having so much fun. And like, I just used the shell to scoop up extra marinara. And he's like, I like your style. We really bonded over that. I'm like, it was great. So mussels marinara.
All mussels.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you haven't already, I guess we can't express enough. Go right now and go to your fishmonger or somewhere that has good product and say, hey, we want 1 or 2 pounds of mussels, and take them home and pop them in the cast iron and pour some white wine and garlic in there and throw some nice crunchy salt and throw it over some toasted bread, and you will not be disappointed.
Yum. Mussels. Guys, listen, thank you so much. And shall we say hasta la mussel pasta?
Hasta la linguine with mussels.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.